All right, look at Luke 8, verse 1. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. It says that's verse 2, but I just went 2. Okay, that's the first time I ever did that. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. Now, can you imagine that? Yeah. Living with 7 demons? I've been around possessed people before. I've seen them, and I can see the torment that they go through and how they're not themselves, and they're totally a different person. You can see it, actually see it in them, their physical appearance, and you can see it in their strength. And we had a woman that was possessed, and it was me, Brother Joe, Pastor Joe Castro, and a few guys and over in the North Park Theater. She actually dragged us. We tried to hold her, and she just was pulling us. And she was possessed. And it was, you can tell the difference. And here she had 7 of them. Imagine just dealing with one, but 7? And then there was also Joanna, the wife of Chuza. Okay, come on, somebody tell me. Help me with that one. Chuza sounds good. Which was Herod Steward and Susanna and many others who provided for him in their substance, with their substance. Now, I'm just going to park on these verses because I think there's a lot here that it's going to speak to us, even though it's just 3 verses. But I don't want to get too much because I can only do so much. So I'm going to just park on these 3 so we can go through this. But I do want to step back a verse from verse 1. I want to look back at chapter 7, look at verse 50. Because when we ended a month ago, I think it's been a month now, I really didn't get to touch on 50 like I wanted to. And besides, chapter 8 really picks up where chapter 7, verse 50, where Jesus said this. Remember the woman who came and dried washed his feet with her tears and then dried them with her hair. Then Jesus said to this woman, he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So here in chapter 8, it really picks up from this last statement here. And we're going to see, because in chapter 8, it really addresses the topic of faith. Faith is so important, right? Got to have faith. And you know, when I think Jesus, when he said, you just need the faith of a mustard seed. You guys seen mustard seeds, right? They're real tiny. And I think, okay, well, what kind of faith is that? I mean, when I think of faith, I think, okay, parting the Red Sea and moving the mountain and doing some very supernatural acts of God. But he said, just the faith of a mustard seed, it's just believe in it. Just believe. That's it. That's all you have to do. Say, okay, I read it. I'm just going to believe it. That's it. That's the faith of a mustard seed. And God's going to do the rest. Yeah. Don't think that, I got to have faith so I can knock down this hill. God will do that. Or faith, because you know what? When I was going through this issue in my life, I don't want to say it too loud because, you know, everything. But what I was going through, my faith was challenged. I come to find out that your faith isn't active until you go through something. That's when your faith, you have to rely on faith.
Amen.
And when I was going through the first 2 weeks, it was very hard. And I have to ask God to forgive me. Because I got mad at God. Because I was going around saying, God, you moved the mountain, you parted the sea, and you can't take care, you can't take this away. I was really struggling with a bad cough. And I was like, God, oh, heal me. And then I realized what God was teaching me through this cough is that he said, you know what, I'm not going to take that away right away, but I'm going to see you through it. But he put Vicki Taylor in my heart, and he put Lorraine. And he said, I said, okay, God, if you're not going to take mine away, take theirs away. because I know they struggle with a cough, and the coughing is not good. It's awful. It's an awful thing when you have to go through it day after day, moment after moment, hour after hour. Before you go to sleep, you cough. When you wake up, you cough. In the middle of the night, you cough. And so I pray, every time I cough, I prayed for them. And I said, heal them then. Lord, if you're not going to heal me, heal them. But that's when faith has to, your faith is active when you go through situations. You got to rely on your faith. And Paul tells us, and when I think of this woman here, what she went through, and Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. And Paul, he tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, for by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift from God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. There was no remedy. I trusted in doctors. I trusted in medication. You know how my nurse, I had a nurse, Nurse Ratchet. She gave me all these remedies that everybody was throwing out. You know, hey, I felt like a lab rat. I did. And, oh, man, some of it was just nasty. And it was hard. And I was like, ugh. And trying to trust in that. The only one who could deliver is God. God is the only one. And I had to trust in him. And I had to just, okay, Lord, I'm going to go through it. And you're going to go through it with me. And that's it. And every day I said, okay, tomorrow you're going to heal me. Tomorrow you're going to heal me. Tomorrow, it's just, I got to get through this day. And I know Jesus said that. Don't worry about tomorrow, you know. Today's in itself. So, Lord, just get me through this day. Tomorrow, it'll be better. Tomorrow, it'll be better. Well, it went on for a couple of weeks, and it wasn't getting better. And then it finally started getting better. But Paul says, it's by grace that we have been saved. He said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, knowing, I'm going to give you a few verses on regarding faith. He says that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. We're justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. I mean, we're sinners, right? I mean, we blow it. I don't care if you're a pastor or you're just someone who sits in the seats. You know, we are sinners. And we have to have faith in the righteousness of Christ, knowing that we are righteous before God through Jesus. Hallelujah. I love the fact that when I come before God, Jesus is right here. Hallelujah. He's standing right here right in front of me. So God just looks at me and he can touch me. He can talk to me because of Jesus Christ stands in the gap for me. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul said this, yes, indeed, I also count all things for the loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of things. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Again, it's that having that faith in Christ. Everything else, you know, I count it rubbish. It doesn't matter. I mean, the medications and everything I went through, it didn't matter. It's my faith in Christ that's going to see me through. Amen. Your faith in Christ is that's going to see you through. But then we see Jesus telling this woman here in verse 50, he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You know, it was her faith in these words alone, in Jesus' words, that saved her. It was her faith in what Jesus said. I mean, that was the key to her receiving forgiveness from her sins. That was the key, is her faith in what Jesus said. It saved her. And that's what faith does, right? It allows us to receive the grace of God. Our faith allows us to receive the grace of God. That's that unmerited favor. And when we receive that, our faith allows us to have our sins forgiven. And then after they're forgiven, guess what? We can go in peace. I mean, don't you feel great when you know God's forgiven you? Amen. Don't it feel great knowing that when God's presence is there and he blesses you, that you can just go in peace? It's like Jesus, okay, you're forgiven. Go now. Go in peace. Knowing that you don't have that. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. Let it go. Just let it go and give it to God. That's what I had to learn. Just deal with it, and I'm going to take my focus off it. I'm going to put my focus on two other individuals and say, okay, Lord, heal them. Every time, you heal them. And so I was interceding for them all day long. Every time I cough, boom. Okay, Lord, heal Mama Taylor, heal Lorraine. Every time, heal. And it took my focus off myself.
It worked.
It worked.
I haven't coughed in a week.
Yeah, isn't that Gracie? Praise God. And so it took my focus off myself and my circumstance and put my faith in healing, God healing somebody else. But again, aren't you glad that all it takes is faith? All it takes is faith. Just believe. What is faith, right? What is the true meaning of faith? Well, obviously you guys know this. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. What does it say? That faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, right? Well, right here in Hebrews 11, this is where we get the only definition of faith, right here. This is the only place where it defines faith. Everywhere else in the Bible, it gives us all these acts and all these examples of faith. But here in Hebrews 11, it defines faith as something that's so very important in the life of a believer. It shows us what happens to those who have faith in God and to those who just believe in Him. You just got to believe in Him. I hope I'm making sense. I'm trying to get through this. So, you know, and we do have the Word of God, right? In the Word of God, we have many examples of men and women who they just believed in the Word of God. That's it. And the difference of those who didn't. So you got examples of those who believed, had their faith in God. We have examples of those who didn't believe in God, and we see the outcome of their faith. The Bible shows us this, but nowhere does the Bible define faith like it does here in Hebrews, where it says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. It's so important for us to clearly see just what faith means, because it was faith that saved us. It was faith that forgave us from our sins, just like this woman. It was her faith in Jesus' words when He said, your faith has saved you, and forgave this woman of her sins. And it forgave us. When I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart, my slate was wiped clean. When you accepted Him, your slate was wiped clean, because that's what faith does. Now, I want to give you the Greek meaning of the word substance here in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says faith is a substance of things. I'm kind of probably slurring my words too because of this thing here I'm going through. But anyways, the word substance, it means that our faith is the foundation. It's the assurance. It's the title deed and the guarantee of things hoped for. Amen. The things that are hoped for. Well, what things? We're talking about the things of God, like forgiveness of sins and salvation. That's the foundation of our faith. The assurance of our faith is the things of God. We can believe in the things of God. You can believe what the Word of God says. Believe what God, His precious promises. That's the foundation of our faith. And then the word evidence. The word evidence actually means, one of the means is conviction. Holding on to what you believe to be true. Have that conviction of what the Word of God says. I'm going to hold on that it is true. I'm always telling people this. When they say, well, is God going to do this? You know, here's faith. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know He will. And I always tell myself that, if I was telling myself through my trying time, I don't know when, God, I don't know how, God, but I know You will. That's faith. So when you put these two meanings, the word substance and the word evidence together, then you can define faith as this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. I can't see it sometimes, but I believe it to be true. I know it's going to happen. The Bible, just like the rapture. I know you guys know it's going to happen, right? It's coming.
It is.
I can't see it. I've never saw it before, or it's not something that you can, oh, it happened over here. It's going to come. Therefore, I have that strong conviction to know that it is going to be true. And I can put my faith in that, because faith is a substance of things hoped for in the things that are not seen. But when it comes down to it, again, faith is described as an act. Our faith, it's an act of believing something and having the assurance and the conviction that it's going to come to pass. Just believe it, guys. Faith isn't faith until you give it away. Faith is important. Our faith is important. Just believe it. God made things simple like faith. We make it difficult. God makes things simple. A lot of times we make things difficult. So faith is possessing the substance of the promises of God. You just got to believe in the promises of God. Whatever what God says is going to happen in the Word, believe it's going to come to pass.
It will.
It's the Word of God. I mean, this book this is the world's most bestseller, and at the same time, it's the world's most hated book, is the Bible. Isn't that something? It's amazing. And it's been going on for over, many, many years. This Bible has been going down. It's been going and going and going. The Bible says that it will not be destroyed, and it's not going to be done until every word is fulfilled in it.
Number one,
whew, man, we got Jesus right here. Amen. The Word of God is amazing. So again, we have to put our faith. Now this woman here in verse 50, we're going to get into the next verse, but again, look at that verse. It said, Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, I love this because, you know what? There is no hesitation on Jesus' part to forgive her. He didn't hesitate. He forgave her. Why? Because her forgiveness was already ready for her from God. God already had it ready. And Jesus just had to, he didn't hesitate. Say, hey, you know what? You're forgiven. Your faith has saved you. All she needed to do was come to him and with humility and with submission, just come. In fact, you know, when she came to Jesus, she had that attitude that she wasn't even worthy to be in Jesus' presence. How many times you have felt like that? Well, you just don't feel worthy, right? Man, but Jesus didn't let her stay like that.
Amen.
That's what I love about it, is when she came to Jesus feeling this, Jesus didn't let her stay like that. He did it. He raised her up. He acknowledged her humility. He acknowledged her love, and he forgave her sins, and he sent her away in peace. I love the peace of God because it passes all understanding. Peace of God. You know the word go here in verse 50? When Jesus said, go. I'm pretty sure she didn't want to hear those words from Jesus. I'm pretty sure she didn't want to go. She didn't want to leave she was at the feet of Jesus. She had Jesus' attention. And when Jesus said, go now, I'm sure she didn't want to go. Yet Jesus told her to go. But he didn't let her go empty-handed. He gave her the peace to go. And it was because she heard Jesus say that her faith had saved her. I mean, don't you have the peace knowing that you're saved? That, you know what? What you have is real. What you have is real. I mean, you can have that peace knowing that. And you know all the people that, you know, Jesus healed physically in the Bible. You know, if you think about it, they weren't permanently healed because, you know, eventually they had to die again. He might have healed their whatever they're going through, but they had to die again. But sins that are forgiven forever. Your sins are forgiven forever. They're never going to rise up again. Once Jesus says you're forgiven, that's it. You might bring it up again, but Jesus will wipe it away again. He says, as far as the east is from the west, as far as I cast your sin from you. And so forgiven sin is forever. Now, look at verse 1. So it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city, he went through every village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. So again, there are, you know, many who believe here that this was Jesus' second time that he went into these cities that where he was preaching and these villages. And obviously he was preaching the gospel of salvation, because the first time he went, it's found in chapter 4 of Luke in verse 42. We see Jesus doing that very thing. But here we read that he's going again, and that the 12 disciples, those he chose to be his disciples, they went with him. But in chapter 4, the disciples, they weren't chosen yet. So they weren't with him when he went that first time. But what Jesus did, and what he's doing here, guys, I really believe, is that he's confirming our ministries. When I think of ministry, you know, let me tell you this. I've been asked more than once, why do you keep going to China? Why do you keep doing it? Why don't you do something else? Or why do you keep building houses in Mexico? Or why do you meet for Bible studies and so on? Why? Because Jesus did. He went from city to village. He didn't stop. Even though he went to this one, he didn't stop going there. He went again. And he went and he preached the gospel. And because Jesus didn't stop, we're not going to stop doing what God called us to do. We're not going to stop going from this place. You know, we're going to keep bringing the good news just like Jesus did. And Jesus brought it to, and he brought it to those who would listen. He didn't give up. He went from city to village to village. Then he went back again. And this is why we keep doing the same things that we're doing. We don't stop because Jesus didn't stop. You know, if Jesus just went to this city and then he gave the word and then he didn't go again in this one, there would be no more places to go to. So obviously the rapture would come probably, right? You know, but no, he continued to go, and we're going to continue to do what God called us to do until the Lord shuts the door or we can't meet anymore. We're going to continue. You continue in your walk with God. You continue in your ministry. You continue in reaching out. And if that person doesn't want to hear you, you don't stop. You continue to give that person Jesus. Continue to encourage them. Do whatever you can, because that's what Jesus did. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said this. In verse 15, he says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Amen. I mean, we should clearly see that today, right? What's happening today? So we got to take every opportunity to walk circumspectly. We got to walk the way Jesus would walk. Do what Jesus would do, and continue to be about our Father's business. And I love Isaiah 55:6, where he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Can you imagine getting to the point? I mean, we never expected to be like this in our lifetime, right? Not one of us. We never thought we would go through this. I mean, this is persecution. But it doesn't compare to the persecution that the early church went through, obviously. Or maybe the underground churches or the other churches in other countries, what they go through. I mean, I can't compare it to what we're going through. This is our persecution, but we're talking physical persecution, right? And you know what? There may come a time when we might not even be able to do this. So do we stop?
No.
No. There's people who have stopped, okay, because of what they said that we can do and what we cannot do. They stop. They stop doing it. No, we don't stop. We have to seek the Lord while he may be found. This is what we're finding this morning. We're here to find Christ. We're here to find fellowship, and we get to continue to seek that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find it. Knock and it'll be open to you. For everyone who receives, everyone who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be open." So he's talking about a continuous knocking, a continuous seeking, a continuous finding. You got to continue to do it. Now look at verse 2. It says, "And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and of infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward and Susanna and many others who provided for him from their substance. So let's look at these women who followed Jesus. Okay, first we have Mary of Magdalene. It's not Mary Magdalene. It's like Jesus of Nazareth. So this, she was from Magdalene. But look at her testimony, because again, she was possessed with 7 demons until Jesus delivered her. 7. Now, we don't really know her, if she was married. We don't know her age. But obviously, because she was able to follow Jesus here, she was able to, she guess she didn't have really any home obligations, or she wasn't tied down to anything, because she was able to follow Jesus after she was delivered from her 7 demons. And so, and Mary here also was one of the women who stood at the foot of the cross of Jesus. She was there. She was also at the first of the first at the tomb of Jesus, and the one whom Jesus appeared after his resurrection. So she definitely was blessed. And then you have Joanna, the wife of Chuza. I'm just gonna say Chuza. Chuza was Herod's steward, so he was in charge of managing Herod's estate, and he looked after his wealth. He was like his accountant. And because he was, this meant that Joanna, his wife, she was a woman of influence. And so, and then you got Susanna, which there really is no other reference about her, just that she was a prominent disciple, and she was known by everyone. And she pretty much served the Lord behind the scenes. And that's the one thing I want to encourage you guys. When you serve the Lord behind the scenes, it's a blessing. It's an honor. And you might not get any recognition, but you're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. When you do things behind the scenes, God does see it. God sees it. And he will bless you because you're storing up treasures in heaven. Amen. A lot of times when you do something and you want recognition. Look what I've done. You know, and but sometimes it's better just to do things behind the scenes and let God be recognized, because then you can step out of the way and God will be the one who will get the glory. Well, this woman, she definitely served the Lord behind the scenes. But like the other, she was a devout servant in her giving to the Lord. That's one thing that was recognized. And then you got many others, and we don't know who they were. Only that they were important followers of the Lord. They served the Lord as well, and they were very consistent, and they were very faithful in their giving to the ministry of Jesus. So if you look at those who follow Jesus, I think Mary and Joanna here seems to shine the most, because they're mentioned here. They're mentioned more about them than the others. And so, but look at the extreme of their differences here, okay? You got Mary, who was possessed by 7 demons, right? And then you got Joanna, who was part of the king's court, so she was like royalty. We're talking totally opposite of one another, and yet we read about them working together as one. Now we're going to take a little census here, okay? We're going to do a little census. So I want everybody here who was raised up in a Christian home to stand up. Okay, if you were raised up in a Christian, I want you to just stand up for me. Okay. Okay. So look around. So you see, look at those who are raised in the Christian home. Okay.
Catholic.
I was raised a Catholic. Okay. My dad told me, you were born a Catholic, you're gonna die a Catholic. I don't know how you're born a Catholic. Okay. I think when I came out, the doctor says he's a Catholic. Yeah. Okay, now I want everybody to stand who was not born, not raised in a Christian home. You got saved later. I want you to stand.
Praise God.
Okay. And yet, okay, you guys can sit down. And yet, look at us. We are here together. Amen. Serving the Lord. But and we're so grateful what he has done for us, whether you're in a Christian home or whether you weren't raised. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was, again, raised a Catholic. But we see how we are here serving the Lord together. Each one of us has been reached out and we've been healed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have received this very special touch from Him. And as the result, guess what? We are ministering unto Jesus with our sustenance. Whether it's ourself, whether it's our giving, what we have, we give it to the Lord. Because why? God gave it to us. Amen. He has blessed us. And He didn't bless us to hoard it or to hold on. He blessed us to bless others. You know, like I said, faith isn't faith until you give it away. And we bless Him with our substance, whether it's our time in our ministry and our time spending with Him, whether it's our finances or whether it's experiencing God in our lives. But yet here we are together worshiping God. Thank you, Lord. We're all from different backgrounds. We're all from different religions. I mean, any ex-Mormons here? Okay, we got one. Yeah. Two. Praise God. Do we have any Buddhas? Ex-Buddhas? Buddha boy? Matt? Yeah, he's rubbing his stomach. Okay, how many Catholics are here? Ex-Catholics, right? Yeah. So what else? Baptists? We're all from different cultures and different colors, sizes, and everything. But yet, we are here together serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Look at verse 3. It says that these women, and that they provided from Him from their sustenance. I mean, these women, they supported the preaching ministry of Jesus. You think Jesus didn't need anything? He was being supported. What He did, He was being supported because Jesus' job was preaching. That was His job. He preached all the time because that's what He came to do. His primary call and mission was the gospel of salvation. That's what He did. And notice the word here in verse 1. It says, in verse 1 it says, when it came to pass afterward. That word afterward here in verse 1, it means one after another word. After another. That's what it means. One after another. In other words, Jesus, right after the banquet at Simon's home, after He had that experience with that woman, drying her hair, drying His feet with her tears, it meant that Jesus, right after that, He got up and He went about His primary call and mission and preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Right after He left Simon, what did He do? He went out and He started preaching the gospel. Afterwards, one after another, that was His calling. He didn't slack off. He didn't take a vacation from fellowship or doing the Father's work. I know sometimes we can do that. So I'm on vacation, so I'm not going to go to church, or I'm not going to do this because I'm on vacation. When I go on vacation, sometimes if there's a church, I'll go to the church where I'm at just to sit in. It's awesome, pretty awesome just to sit there, and they don't know who you are or whatever, and they come and introduce yourself to them, and praise God, you know. It's awesome. Jesus never slacked off. He was faithful and consistent in preaching and proclaiming the gospel. That's the example that He gave to us. Are you faithful in your walk with God? Are you faithful in your devotion with God? Are you faithful in preaching and sharing the gospel with others? I mean, that's why these women supported His preaching ministry. They supported the Lord because He preached and He was faithful in His calling to preach. Now, I want you to notice two particulars here. First, they supported His ministry because, why? It was a reaching out ministry. That's why. Jesus reached out. They wanted to be part of that. I want to reach out, guys. I do. I really want to reach out. And we're in a trying time right now. It's kind of difficult to do that. And I don't know how. I watch TV and I see other ministries doing it in different ways. But I'll tell you this. I was blessed on Thursday. We had the farmer's market out here. And I noticed that right in front of the church doors, there was a table and there was two police officers. So I'm going to go talk to them. So I went out there and I said, you know, I just want to thank you guys. I'm the pastor of the church. And I do want to thank you for serving our city. And I want you to know that we pray for you guys. And you know what? If you need to use the bathroom, here's the code. To that door right there, here's a code. You punch in that code, you go in and use our restroom. He said, wow, thank you very much. And I said, and also, you know what? I want to make this building available to the officers who maybe they need a place to come and have lunch or sit and do reports and use the restroom. I want to make this building available so that you can have a place to come and relax. And he said, you know what, that'd be great. Give me a card. So I gave him my card, and I did get a response from the commander in the area saying that want to thank me for reaching out, and they want to meet with me.
Wow.
Because they want to look at our building and see if they could use that for their night shift, and officers can come in and they can do reports in there. So that means, Andy, you can't walk around in your underwear now. And I was like, wow, right on. So they said, so please, let's set up an appointment for the captain and the sergeant. We want to get together with you, and we want to look at the facility. So I got excited. I said, okay, Lord, that's what I want. So I left there, and then I came here, and I saw these guys right here looking at the house, and I thought they were police officers. So I walked over, and it was actually the fireman, Captain Lee. And he told me to tell you hi, Bobby. His crew is here, and they were looking at the house here, and so we spent almost a half an hour just talking and sharing. And I say, if you guys need to use the building to climb up on or whatever, it's available too, because they do it over there, you know. But it was awesome because I want to reach out. I want to do something. I'm thinking about next year opening this up for the community on Saturday morning, that the families can bring their children here and they can play. And I'll cook some hot dogs for him.
Hey.
This is what I'm praying about. Because we have this. It's time to use it for the Lord. I know it's for the school, but we can use it more also to reach out. Because why? That's what Jesus did. And this is why the women were supporting his ministry, because it was a reaching out ministry. Unless you support it, how can we reach out? We need your support. I'm not going to lie. We need, the offerings have gone down because people are not giving. I don't want to stop reaching out. I want to continue to do the Lord's work. So that's why they supported his ministry, because it was a reaching out ministry. I mean, Jesus went from city to village. He went preaching, and he could buy because he had a passion for the lost, and he had a heart for the people. In fact, Jesus was truly, 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to eternal life and repentance. That's Jesus. I mean, he wanted to make sure that everybody had the opportunity to receive eternal life. You know what? God knows who's saved and who's not. But don't use that to keep you from doing your part. I know God knows.
We don't.
We don't. Exactly. You don't know who's saved and who's not. God does. That's why we have to continue to get the word out. There's people who won't evangelize because, why? God already knows who's saved. Seriously, they won't do it. We don't know. So that's why we got to get out there. We got to reach out to everyone who will listen or who won't listen. Because that's what Jesus did. He went throughout the villages, the countrysides, and everywhere he went, he wanted to reach out. That was his ministry, to preach and to teach the word of God. And this is the ministry that they were supporting. Which brings up another point here in verse 3, where it says, they provided from their substance. The point is, and I love this because I can relate to this. You know what? Jesus humbled himself to allow the women and others to support him to meet his needs. We're talking God in the flesh, right? You think he needed their help? He didn't need it. He didn't need their help. But he humbled himself and allowed them to reach out and to support him and to meet his needs. He allowed it. He wants that fellowship.
He knew their heart, too.
He knew their heart, exactly. And he allowed them, and he received from them. Now, I remember, before I became a pastor, early in the ministry, I was always giving. I loved to give. We gave all the time. And people had a need. We were giving and giving and giving. Then when I became a pastor, it kind of reversed. People started given to me, and I didn't like that because I never received. I always gave, and I wouldn't accept it. Even when I was going through hard times, when I lost my job and everything, I remember one person said, "Hey, you know what? I want to give you groceries." No, don't give me any groceries. No. We came home one day. We used to live in North Park here, a block away from the park, and on the porch was a couple bags of groceries. And I didn't like that because I felt it was pride. That's what it was. And I didn't want to receive. I just wanted to give. But one day, somebody came to me. "I want to give you this blessing." I said, No, I don't want that. I don't need it. No. And I was reprimanded very hard. As I was being reprimanded, they told me this. They said, "Do not rob me of my blessing." They got mad. I said, "Wow, okay. Rob me." I didn't know that verse as well as robbing them of their blessing. And then I realized that I was robbing God. I was robbing God. So I had to change. Even today, sometimes I feel, you know, funny when people bless me. But I got to remember, you know what? I don't want to rob them of their blessing. When they give you a gift or something, when you give somebody a gift, don't refuse it because they're going to be blessed even more. Now, I give not to get, you know, to think, okay, I'm going to give so I can get more. But God does bless. Amen. And we get to be part of the work that God is doing. So I don't want to stand in that way. But Jesus here is teaching us here is actually, it's found in Acts chapter 20 where he says, "I have shown you every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus," Paul said this, "that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Don't you feel blessed when you give? Amen. Don't you feel blessed when you're part of the church and you give the Lord back what he has given to you? I love it. In fact, like when I go to a drive-thru, the car behind me, I'll pay for their food. And then I'll drive off. I was actually tracked down by one guy. He all the way, I was coming Jack in the Box. And I got a salad. Because I know she's going, when I get out, "What did you get?" I got a salad and a yogurt and a sugarless iced tea. And the car behind me, I said, "You know what? I want to pay for that. I want to pay for the bill." So I paid for it. And as I was driving out, I came up here. This guy speeded up, honking the horn. He's going like this. And then I got blessed here at the Mexican shop here. It was a salad. It was a Mexican salad. And I was there, and that's when I had my truck. You remember I had the license plate, the three crosses? And when I drove up, the lady says, "That car in front paid for you." And I was like, "Wow, that's awesome." It's a blessing to give because you're doing the Lord's work. This is what Jesus is teaching. It's blessed to more blessed to give than to receive. And I know there are many of you who don't like to receive from others. It's pride. You won't let other people help you, whether it's financially or physically. But Jesus saw how important it was to allow others to give in order to what? For him to receive. He allowed it. He didn't need it. But he allowed them to be part of his ministry and to support him and support him financially, his food, his clothing, whatever he needed. They were there to support him because it keeps the ministry going. I think giving also keeps us humble. It keeps us serving the Lord. And by giving to others and to the ministry, it helps us to trust in the Lord and not in our material things. Man, it's hard when you wrestle. Oh, man, you got a lot here, and I don't want to let go. And it's like, you know, the Lord, Lord, here's a check, and he grabs like this, and you're going like this, you know, it keeps us humble. It keeps us to trust in the Lord, and not in our material things. I mean, we have the greatest example of the early church in Acts chapter 2, 41. I'm going to read it. You know it well. It says, "In those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day there was 3,000 souls that were added." And that's when the Pentecost day, the tongues came down and everything. "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all those who believed were together. They had all things in common. Oh, you guys, we have all things in common, right? I think so. We're family. You know, we do. We relate to each other. We have things in common with God and everything. Well, they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. Now, I'm not going to tell you, hey, I want you to go sell your houses, your boats, and your cars, and then give it to the church. But there are some people who do that. I think it's wrong. It's wrong. Then what do you do? You're homeless, right? No. But it's awesome to be able to what the Lord gives you, to be able to give back and to help others who are in need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And that's the early church. That's what the early church does. And that's what we need to do today. We need to bless one another. Also, here it's where it's mentioned that these women who gave to Jesus' ministry with their substance, what they had. Actually, in the King James, it says that they provided for Jesus, but the King James, if you have the King James Bible, it says they ministered. And that minister is the same word used as it's described as a deacon or a deaconess. So we have the first deaconess of the early church is these women. Meeting the needs. They were like deacons. But you're doing the Lord's work. So once again, we see Jesus, he's opened the door for us to get involved in the work of the ministry, of preaching and teaching the word of God. He opened the door here for us to do that. And reaching out to others in order what? For them to get saved or get blessed by the Lord in supporting his ministry. And if you think about it, when you get to the church, Jesus is allowing you to minister to him with your possessions and with your sustenance. Don't think of it, you're giving it. I did have one guy say, you know what, did the church pay you? Yeah. And he thought it was a wrong thing that I was stealing from God. He did. And he said, that's wrong. I said, well, you know, I don't know any other way. If I have to get a job, if I get a job, then I can't do the work of the ministry. That's how Jesus does it. He works by giving. Don't think that when you give to the church that you're giving for me to take vacations in Hawaii. Though if you want to send me as a missionary to Hawaii, that's fine. Or that we're not doing anything. It goes into what? Jesus' ministry of preaching the gospel. From city to village, whether it's in China, whether it's here, whether it's in the Philippines, Mexico, across the street, whether it's with the police department, the fire department, whether it's your neighbor or among ourselves. Jesus opened the door for us to bless him and bless him with our provision, just like they did. It's an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord. So serve the Lord and bless him and get involved. I want you guys to think about ways on how we can reach out in the new year. After the new year, it's time for us to, in the midst of what we're going through, hopefully it's not going to get better. Worse. It's not going to get worse. I want it to get better, you know. But so that's the medicine talking. So I want you to pray about ways, you know, go and see and seek the Lord and ask the Lord, okay, how can I be part of blessing Jesus with my substance of being involved of that reaching out ministry of Jesus, of getting involved in reaching our community, whether it's whatever it is. There's still opportunities for us to do this, and we got to do this. I want you guys to keep that in prayer and pray that, Lord, how can you use me? How can you use me to be part of your reaching out ministry? Because we don't want to be a corner church. We don't want to just, you know, exist. We want to impact, guys. We want to impact it. And if we can impact our community, if we can impact the world, whatever, our lives are going to be impacted. We'll be changed. And Jesus is coming back. So that's even more reason why we should reach out for others, because they need to know too, right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. And I want to bless you this morning. Thank you for holding back the cough, Lord, and getting me through this. And I don't know, Lord, everything's a little fuzzy, but you're great. And Lord, we do want to be part of the reaching out ministry of Jesus. Lord, you allow these women and others to support you. You allowed it. You gave them the blessing to do it. And you humbled yourself, Lord, to accept it. Even though you didn't need it, you were God. You could have done anything. But you allow them to be part of that reaching out ministry. And Lord, that's what we want here. We want a reaching out ministry. We don't want to just be a synagogue where they just come and go. We want to be a reaching out ministry where Jesus is going out and from city to village, touching people's lives, people being changed in such a time as this. So bless us, Lord, and Lord, continue to provide for us and help us to continue to use our substance to minister to you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, and thank you for fellowship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will come quickly. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.